6. 1 Corinthians 6. We'll be looking at two verses today, 19 and 20. I love, Tommy, I appreciate you reading that Proverbs 31. What a great Proverbs. And who can find a virtuous wife, for her worth is far above rubies. I'm going to tell you guys, if you got a good woman, then she's worth more than anything that you could ever possess, that's for sure. You got a great mother of your home. But as we're getting started, you know, it's Mother's Day and just thanking. Yeah, thank you, guys. Go ahead and stand, if you would. That's right. Reverence God's Word. We'll go ahead. There's no use to sit down, right? You know, you're going back up. I like that. I like that. We reverence God's Word around here. You say, why? If you don't have a Scripture, there's a Bible. If you don't have a Bible, there's a in front of you are pew Bibles. Why do we do that? And why do we reverence? Because you don't need the words of a man this morning. You need the Word of God. And I want you to make sure when I preach this to you that you read it and you know that's what it says. Why? That's your place as a congregation, as God's people. You keep me accountable to preaching and teaching God's Word to you, okay? 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20 says this, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Let's pray. Father, for a few moments, thank you so much. We've had such a great time already with the baby dedication, recognizing these wonderful women that are moms. But Lord, it's time for your word, so we're asking you, may your word go forth. Touch our hearts right where we're at. God, we know that it doesn't return void. Now, I promise you, we'll give you glory. Hide me behind the cross in Christ's name, and all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. I want us to think about this morning as your true identity. You're saying this is a challenge to ladies, but we'll also, in our men on Friday night when we go to our retreat, we'll be discussing these very things about finding our identity. You say, what are you talking about? If I asked you this morning who you were, how would you identify yourself? And especially since it's Mother's Day, some of you ladies would say, well, I'm a mom, or you would say, I'm a wife, or you might say, I have this career or that career or those things. And I want you to know that that is not where we find our identity this morning. If we're not careful, we will. And the world does a mind job on women. Did anybody say amen to that? Say, what are you talking about? Well, ladies, they tell you that you have to look this way, you have to weigh this much, you have to, I mean, that's what they say, that's what makes a successful woman. I want you to know none of those things are in the Word of God. None of those things. In fact, I want you to know that He's worried more about the inside than the outside. I'll try not to meddle in too much there, okay? We'll talk more about that in just a little bit. And so, but I want us to think about Christ being our identity tomorrow, or this morning. Our society says one thing, the Scripture says another. So how do we balance that as women, as moms, as wives, as career ladies, all these things? How do we balance that? If you listen to the voices of the world, you'll find yourself identifying with what the world says is important as a woman, as a mom. But I want you to know something. If you find your identity in anything besides Christ, you'll come up lacking, and you'll find yourself lacking many times. And your expectations of what it is that you find your identity in will either make you happy or sometimes disappointed, and many times disappointed because we don't find our identity in who we are, but whose we are. And that's in Christ. And so I want us to think about, just for a few minutes this morning, Christ wants you to find your identity in Him. And then as we turn to 1 Corinthians and we're looking there, I want you to know the context of this as Paul is teaching the church at Corinth. It's a great church, but it's a struggling church. Why? Because it wants to identify with the world. It wants to look, a lot of the choices that they're making, a lot of their life choices looks more like the world than the Scripture or the church. What God meant. And I'm going to tell you, we live in a world today that's difficult, ladies. It's difficult not to identify with the world. It's difficult when the world says, you've got to look like this, act like this. It's very hard for us not to want to conform, like our memory verse, to the image of the world. I want you to know this morning that God loves you. He made you this morning, ladies. He made you to look like you look. You say, well, wait a minute now. I might add it to that. Well, I know we're to be a good steward of that, but I want to tell you, God made you, and He didn't make any mistakes. And you're highly esteemed to Him. You're highly esteemed to me this morning also. And I love each and every one of you. I'm so appreciative for the moms. I'm appreciative for the women of the church. I want to tell you something, men. We live in a world that I'm starting to see men take their place. And goodness, that makes me excited. But the women carried the church for many years. Can anybody say amen to that? In fact, I don't know if the church would be here if it wasn't for women. So thankful for that. But I want you to know something. It's hard today to live as a godly woman and to identify as Christ and not be tempted or not be influenced by the world. I want you to think of something as we're looking at our identity, your true identity this morning. And the first is, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Verse 19 says that. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? Paul is challenging them. In the world that they were in, it was easy for them to look more like the world and act like the world. And Paul, in this section, he's letting them know, hey, in our world, women are longing, just like men, to have impact. We want to make a difference in the world. We want to have meaning. We want to have significance. And I want to tell you, if you're not careful, how you behave can often result, comes a result of those longings. Who you want to please. Listen, the world tells you, you've got to be a successful woman today. What does that mean? What does that mean? Who's given the definition? What is a successful woman in God's eyes? It's a woman that loves the Lord and serves Him and finds her place wherever she's at. I want you to know something. The world today says that a woman's got to have a career. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not this and that. She's got to do this. She's got to do that. It takes a superwoman to do everything the world says is successful. And if you're not careful, moms, you know what you aspire to be? You aspire to be that superwoman, don't you? You aspire to be that woman that the world says this is what is supposed to look right, or this is what makes you right. Our life choices are most tied. We're often tied down to how we are perceived. How are we perceived? If we're not careful, that's our life choices. God creates all of us, each and every one of us, men and women, with a dissatisfaction, a grinding that cannot be satisfied in the things of the world. Try as you might. The things of the world never satisfy. The dissatisfaction that's in each and every one of us is only a void that Christ can fill. If you're trying to fill that void with anything, I promise you, you're longing today. Oh, you might not admit it, but you're longing. It's almost like you're missing something. I'm missing out on something, or you feel like you're missing out on something. And what it is we'll try to aspire to do the things that the world says will make us happy, will make us fulfilled, and it never brings satisfaction. Why? Only Christ can fill that void. Only Christ. He created that need, so He's the only one that can fill it. When God saves you from your sins, He fills you with what? The Scripture says, with the Holy Spirit. He says, you're the temple of the Holy Spirit. Your body is the temple. Ladies, do you think of your body as the temple of the Holy Spirit? Now, I know what a lot of you, here's what you say. I don't like my temple. I need to carve a little bit off of my temple. Come on. You know where I'm coming from. And you see, that will be our whole focus in life, that we need to look this way. The Bible says right here, when you receive Jesus Christ, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. How's your temple? There seems often to be this underlying fear of approval by others, especially when it comes to ladies. You often strive to perform for the approval of friends, approval of your peers. Is that how you find your identity? When we beg for others' approval, we come up empty. How about God's approval? He sees you. He knows you. You don't have to earn His love. You can't make Him love you more. He loves you completely. Ladies, do you try to be that super mom? do everything to fit in the mold of the world that makes you say you're a good mom. We strive and perform for others' approval and feel like oftentimes we have to outperform the other girlfriends to be accepted. Come on. We got to be better. Look, this mom, she's such a good mom, and I've got to be a better mom. We never say that, but that's how the world is. I'm going to just be honest with you today. I believe this is often the reason for gossip that we have. You say, why? You want to be accepted by the one you're gossiping with, and you want to look better than the one you're gossiping about. Come on. I've told you this before. When me and Sandy first got married, and we'd go to the mall. You know, you go to the mall. Everybody's been to the mall, right? And here, I learned very often, learned real quickly, you know, and I'm thinking, I'm looking pretty good today. Yeah, I'm looking good. Men don't usually have any problem with, like, fooling herself, just for the record. But I noticed that the women that was going by, they ain't checking me out. They could care less. You know who they're looking at? Her. They're checking each other out, guys. They don't care about you. They're looking to see what she's got on. Oh, I like that dress. Did you see those accessories, those earrings? They look so good. I like those shoes. I want some of those shoes. Let's be honest, ladies. Come on. I could have been over there in a pair of overalls. It didn't matter. It didn't matter. If we're not careful, that's what we try to find our acceptance from each other. We try to find our identity in each other. If we're not careful, when we find ourselves talking about somebody else, listen to these verses, Psalms 19:4. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Remember that when you find yourself talking about your girlfriend. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Guess what? It's not about pleasing each other. It's about pleasing Him. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. He created you the way that you are to what? Bring Him glory, and we'll see that in just a minute. Hey, God's not, He's not after a great performance, okay? He wants you to know that He is enough. To get to that place where God is enough is to get to where you aren't. See, what are you talking about? It's not about us. It's about Him. I want you to think about the Holy Presence, the Holy Spirit of God, that He, when we get saved, that He puts in you. He puts in us. Personal sanctification, personal holiness is working out that which is in us. That which God deposits. He gives His very best that we can live and glorify Him. Please Him above all others. There's a freedom that comes when you know your self-worth is not on the line every day. Hello? Your self-worth is not on the line every day, ladies. You glorify God. You're His temple. Spend time with Him. Spend time pleasing Him. And don't worry about it. If you please Him, everything else will fall in line. Everything else will fall in line. So you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. But secondly, you're meant to glorify God, verse 20 that we talked about there. Look what it says. For you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. It's not about you. It's about Him. Everything that we do is about Him. How does that work? When you get those kids up in the morning and you feel like wringing their neck, bring glory to God. When that husband of yours, went down with the seniors to Billy Graham Library this past week on Thursday. Great, great. Man, that was so good and to see Billy Graham. But the real hero there was Ruth to me whenever it just talked about, think about raising those five youngins, and here's a man all over the world preaching God's Word, but she was there and he talked about her example and how she was. And they asked her one time, said, did you ever think about divorce? She said, I thought about murder, but not divorce. He made the statement she was the greatest Christian he ever knew. And I thought about that. And I got to thinking, who was the greatest Christian I ever knew? And I realized that I lived with her. I understand what he meant. Why? Because they see you. all the time. You see, I can put on a good show for you. I can look pretty good on Sunday mornings, Wednesday nights, Sunday nights, or wherever you might see me, but how am I at home? That's the true litmus test of who I am and whose I am. You're meant to glorify God. You see, in that job, I hate that job. I hate money's coming. You had to remind me about money. Just let me enjoy my Mother's Day. Glorify God. He says, you're meant to glorify God. Therefore, you're bought with a price. What does that mean? He owns you. He paid for you. What did he pay for? He redeemed the price of your sin. He bought you off the slave block of sin. You are his. That means you glorify him in whatever you do. At home, when you're about to pull your hair out, you think you can't take it anymore, glorify God. When you go to work and you're in that job and you think, I can't go another day, glorify God. When you find yourself wanting to talk about somebody else to get the attention off of you, glorify God. Glorify God. We must find our identity in Jesus. Not success, not looks, or your children, or even ministry. That's not your identity. Your true identity is in Christ. It's about Him. Bought with a price. He's in control. He's in control. Allow Him to control your life and bring you glory. Bring glory to Him. When you come to a place you're wanting to find your self-worth in anything else, just pivot to Jesus. Just pivot to Him. When you find yourself putting all your effort and all your time in a career, in who you are, in a mom, in a wife, in these things, pivot to Jesus. Make Him the center. It says, therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Okay, if we would spend as much time working on the inside as we do the outside, what would that look like? Oh, you're going to meddling now, preacher. I have to allow extra time. Now, I'm thankful. Don't get me wrong. I'm thankful for ladies that look nice, and you look nice on Sundays, and you clean up, and you put all your makeup on, and everything's on. How the back of my hair look? Looks good, baby. Nothing wrong with that. But listen, how much time did you spend on the inside? I said, what are you talking about? How much time did you spend with the Lord this morning? I'm just throwing it out there. How much time did you spend before you came to worship corporately, individually this week? How much time did you spend looking into the mirror of God's Word instead of the mirror in the bathroom or the dressing room? If we'll spend as much time working on the inside and getting it as beautiful, guess what? That inner beauty just radiates out of a woman that spent time with the Lord. Why? Because she don't find her beauty in what the world says looks beautiful. She finds her beauty in the time that she spent with her Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's a beautiful person. It's a beautiful woman. And ladies, listen. Please teach our girls not to find their self-worth in looks or friends or sports or anything else besides Jesus. You're the greatest influence to your girls. You're the greatest influence to your girls. And what you find your self-worth is what you're going to teach her to find her self-worth in. Okay? Teach her, ladies. Teach them. Teach our girls that to find their self-worth in a relationship with Jesus Christ. All these other things are great, but not the center. This is not who they are. This is not what makes them who they are. Christ does. The only way you can teach them, if that's where you're finding your identity, is in Him. Let me ask you this. And Ted brought this up in Sunday school, ladies. How are you teaching them to do church? Oh, me. Things have changed, haven't they? How are you teaching them to do church? And I'm not talking about just the building. It's a great place to come. We have a nice place to worship. But here's the church is sitting right here in the pews. How are you teaching them, ladies, to do church? Are you teaching them that it's important? Are we buying into the world says that we need to be doing this and this and this and everything? And if you're going to be a good mom, you can't deny them that when something's getting denied. I promise you, every time. Something's getting denied. Shouldn't be the things of God. Never the things of God. Put it first. Teach them to do church. Not an obligation, not a have to, but a get to and a privilege. How about talking about your fellow sisters in Christ? Teaching them to gossip about their sisters or teaching them to click up in their own little groups. Well, I'm a young person. I just want to be around young people. Show me that scripture. This is the standard. I don't care how comfortable you are with whoever it is. We herd up. We all do. Look around. We all kind of look the same, don't we? We herd up. Has nothing to do with who you're comfortable with. Has everything to do with ministering to other people. Look at your life as a ministry. Teach them. Teach them to love everybody. Not to embrace sin, but to love everybody in Jesus' name. We can do that. Instead of judging others, see the needs of a needy person and pray for them. Teach them to pray. Be praying women. Woo! That's what we need, praying women that'll get a hold of the throne of God. Them old grandmas and mamas that's prayed, a lot of you, the only reason you're sitting here is because of a praying mama or a praying grandma. Who's going to fill their shoes? Or is it going to be a thing of the past that we talk about? Or is it going to be a thing of the future that we are and that we live? Find that identity in Christ. Be a praying mom. Be a praying woman. And when we are, we're not getting our feelings hurt about everything. I realize women are a little more emotional than men are. If we're not careful, we get our feelings hurt about everything. Why? Because we're not finding our identity in Christ. When we find our identity in Christ, guess what? We realize that people are going to make mistakes and people are going to say things or things will be perceived in a wrong way. But you know what? We keep bouncing back to Christ and our feelings do not supersede our identity in Him. There's a tremendous freedom when your identity is found in Him. I love that Tommy read Proverbs 31:30. Listen to what it says. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Fearing the Lord means reverence to the Lord. It means putting the Lord first in your life. When you put Him first, everything else falls into place. Don't buy into what the world says success is, Mom. Be a success in what God says is a success. Be a praying mom. Be a teaching mom. Teach your families to love Jesus by your example. Glorify God in everything that you do. Do it unto the Lord. Find your freedom in serving Him and not having to please anybody but Him. And when we please Him, things are okay. So thankful for the ladies, the moms. The moms-to-be, in a world that's making it not so important anymore, guess what? It's one of the most important things that we have in this world. Our family unit is being attacked. It's being attacked. Why? Because God, in the very beginning, ordained. You know what He looked? He looked over at Adam. Adam had named all them animals. I can't help but leave but see old Adam over there like you. Giraffe, rhinoceros, groundhog. And He's looking. Why? Ain't nobody looks like Him. Let's be honest. God created that void in Him. He brings animals, no doubt in my mind. He brings animals before Him so He could see He was not complete. And the first time He says it's not good. All you look at Genesis and look at when the first time God says it's not good is what? It's not good for man to be alone. Well, He had all them animals. I love my dogs. I love my cats. That's not what He was talking about. It's not good for man to be alone. And He creates, He puts Adam in a deep sleep, pulls a rib out, and forms woman. And brings him to, whoa, man. That's right. That's what Adam said when he saw her. Whoa, man. Listen. He brings Eve to Adam. And you know what happens? The family unit is formed. Family unit's formed. The very first ordinance right there, the family unit, and man and woman are married there. Look, God created that. Why is the attack against the family? Because the devil knows if he can mess up the things of God, he can mess it all up. Women, be the mom God's called you to be. Don't find yourself worth in what anybody other than Him says. You're not in a competition this morning. All you want to do is please the Master. Let's stand to our feet. We'll have our invitation. Listen to these applications. Linda, come and play. What are you finding your identity in this morning, Mom? What are you finding your identity in? How are you teaching your children about Jesus? Number two. Lastly, how are you teaching your children to do church? I want this to be a time. I want moms to come forward, okay, at the invitation. Go ahead and start making your way now. Lynn, as you play. Just come around this altar, Mom, and pray for your kids. Pray that you can be that example that God's called you to be. Why? It's so important. Be a praying mom. There's a lot of people standing here because your mom was a praying mom. Find your place around God's altar this morning. They're getting their workout today, too. Look, back and forth, back and forth. That's right. Coming home. Let's everybody close our eyes. Pray right here in this moment. Moms, you pray. You got a wayward child? Pray. You got friends? Pray. You finding your identity in anything besides Jesus Christ? Pray. You teaching your kids? You teaching your girls to find their identity in anything besides Jesus? Pray. Teach them to do church. Make church important. Why? Because it's the house of God. It's the place that we come to meet with God. But first, teach them how to worship at home in individual worship. We'll take out a moment and then we'll pray. Father, thank you so much. I want to praise you. Thank you for Linda having a play right now. Thank you for her leading us as we go before the throne of grace. Thank you for every mom that's around this altar. God, and the children that are represented here. God, I pray a blessing upon each and every one of them. Lord, help them to find their identity in Christ. Help Christ to be the thing that they find their self worth in. I pray every day that they get up and they hand themselves to the Lord and say, Lord, use me today. Help me to make a difference in my home, in my life, everywhere my feet is planted. Let me bring glory to you. Let me realize, God, this is the temple of the Holy Spirit first. Help me to keep it clean before you. I thank you for each and every one. I pray, God, that you'll raise up a godly generation, that these moms will influence the daughters that's coming behind them. And God, that these kids that we dedicated today and others, and we got a house full of children. God, raise them up. Raise them up to know Jesus and stand on the things and the principles of God's Word. That God, they'll go out and live lives godly and set before you. You raise up missionaries and pastors. And God, that postal workers and people, construction workers that know Jesus Christ. And God, this whole world, as it winds down, there'll be a light that shines bright because Christ has a remnant right here. I thank you for each one. Bless them, God. Meet the need they're praying for. In Christ's name, and all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Manny, you and Bumble come forward, please.